From WBUR in Boston, I'm Bill Littlefield, and this is NPR's Only a Game. Gentlemen, start your playbooks ahead on Only a Game. Recently returned NFL players race against the clock to learn the plays before the games begin. Also, a look at what delights the NBA lockout might yield off the court and in the courtroom. The Nation magazine goes sports mad for one zany week and the life of multi-sport overachiever Babe Diedrichsen-Zaharias. Also ahead, the streets of Schnitzelburg are taken over by dainty practitioners.
The key is to get as low as you can, make the stick parallel to the ground. When you hit it, it'll pop it up in the air.
What is this man talking about? Stay tuned.
Major funding for Only a Game comes from Oliver Wyman, an international strategy consulting firm. With 3,000 professionals worldwide, Oliver Wyman serves global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com.
This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. This week, we saw the NFL players back on the field as owners in the NBA went to court. While much of the country was wrapped up in following the resolution of a sports lockout that only claimed one preseason game, Billy Hunter, the head of the NBA Players Association, warned that an entire basketball season might be lost. Joining me now on the line to help sort all this out is Gabe Feldman, the director of the Sports Law Program at Tulane University Law School. Professor Feldman, welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you for having me on.
What are some of the key issues which caused the league and the union to disagree?
Well, if we're talking about the NBA or the NFL, the issue is really the same, and the issue comes down to money. And the big difference between the NFL and the NBA is that the NBA owners are claiming that they cannot afford to pay the players. They literally can't pay the players. In the NFL, the argument was more along the lines of the owners did not want to pay the players. So we've got a fundamental difference there that I think will dictate how these labor battles play out, and it's why I think the NBA is in for a much longer, difficult road than the NFL was.
Let's talk specifically about Tuesday's court filing. The NBA sued the Players Association in federal court in New York. They accused the union of failing to bargain in good faith. This seems an extreme step this early in the process, is it?
Not necessarily. Remember, the NBA players had already filed a similar claim with the National Labor Relations Board. And the NBA owners took the bigger step by filing an action in federal court, saying that the lockout is legal and should stay in place, and the players should not be able to dissolve their union and bring an antitrust suit. And that's going to be the big case. That will likely dictate how long this battle goes on and who eventually wins the battle.
You talk about both sides posturing. Is one side more legitimate in its posturing than the other?
I don't think so. I think this is a business dispute, and they are fighting over how to divide up dollars. I don't think either side is illegitimate. The NBA owners argue that they need money back from the players to survive, and that up to 22 owners are actually losing money. And their biggest claim, and I think the one that resonates the most with fans, is that many owners would say that they will lose less money if they cancel games than if they actually continue to play games under the current system. That's hard to say that's an illegitimate claim. The question is, how true is the claim?
The NFL lockout did not violate antitrust laws, at least according to the court, but the NBA is hoping to bypass all such debate by asking a court to establish that in the event of a union decertification and if the court ruled that the lockout was illegal, and I'm quoting now, all existing player contracts would become void and unenforceable. I would think that would be a pretty good incentive to keep the union intact.
Well, that's really the interesting part of this lawsuit that the NBA filed. It's a pretty complicated legal argument, but it's not clear at the end of the day if that helps or hurts the players. I think it would hurt some, but also might help some who would all of a sudden become free agents and maybe be able to negotiate a higher deal. So I'm not sure that's a result the owners really want to get to. Again, I think that's just part of the posturing. But if it comes to that, we're going to see complete chaos, because essentially what would happen is the union would dissolve, the individual players would negotiate individually with the league would implement whatever rules they wanted, the players would challenge those rules under antitrust law, and the players would all be free agents. Just, that's a lot to handle at one time.
NBA Commissioner David Stern has made much of the fact that the average NBA player salary is $5 million, while the average NFL player salary is about $2 million. Given the relative size of the NBA and the NFL rosters, this certainly doesn't explain why the league is losing money. But does it affect how long the players in the NBA will be able to hold out?
It might. It depends on how much those players are spending. Just because you've got $5 million doesn't mean it's going to last long if you're spending all $5 million. And that's been the concern of the Players Association, the player agents. And they have alerted the players for the last 2 years that they need to start saving money. In addition to their money they may have saved, the Players Association has also stored away some money for them, and the players are getting some money back from an escrow account last year. So I think the players will be in a better position probably than the NFL players were. But one other factor to consider is that some of these NBA players may go play abroad, also another option that the NFL players did not have. So that'll help them out too.
The more telling difference between NBA and NFL salaries might be how much of the money players ever actually receive, because there's no such thing as a guaranteed contract in the National Football League, and it sounds like the owners wish the same was true of the NBA.
You're right. The NBA wants to have the system more like the NFL, where the contracts are not guaranteed. So if owners make a mistake on a big contract, they're not stuck with it for the course of the deal. They can opt out of it. And what's a little interesting and ironic is that the NBA wanted their system to look a little bit more like the NFL, in the sense that the players don't get guaranteed contracts and they get a harder salary cap. And the NFL wanted their system to look a little bit more like the NBA. So their owners are trying to get, I think, the best of both worlds. And really what the players are doing is just trying to fight for the status quo.
According to the Players Association, revenue sharing proposals from the two sides are about $800 million apart. Do you foresee this getting resolved in time for there to be a 2011-2012 season?
Well, I think the litigation will help answer that. As of now, I certainly think the entire season is at risk. I think those numbers don't mean that much. I think what's the bigger issue is that the owners are really seeking a fundamental shift in the way the NBA's financial system works by implementing a hard salary cap. And something has to happen to give these sides a sense of urgency, something to put some pressure on both sides. Otherwise, we may very well not get a 2011-12 season.
Professor Feldman, it's obvious that you've given these issues an awful lot of thought, and you've explained them in an exceptionally articulate way, and I'm wondering if that's simply a professional obligation or whether you're a basketball fan. How much are you going to miss the NBA if it doesn't come back on time?
I am a basketball fan, just like I am an NFL fan, and I will miss it. I certainly will, but what I think is interesting and what I think we've noticed with this NBA lockout is the fan reaction is a little bit dulled compared to the NFL. And certainly the diehard NBA fans are very upset. But with the NFL, the thought was, if one game is missed, it's a relative tragedy. But I am certainly an NBA fan. And from a law professor's perspective, these lockouts are the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. From a sports fan's perspective, it's terrible.
Gabe Feldman is the director of the sports law program at Tulane, and he tweets under the handle Sports Law Guy, which seems about right. Professor Feldman, thank you very much for speaking with me.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.